Rue strode into the guest room Anya had slept in earlier that morning. Henshaw stood beside the bed, a pile of bedsheets beside him on the floor.
Anya is returning for the sword.
Yes, sir.
I want to check she didn't leave anything behind.
Their conversation about DNA and genetic testing had gotten Rue to thinking. Why hadn't he considered such a thing before? It could answer the one question that occurred to him relentlessly since meeting Anya Creed and watching her take command of Joan's sword.
There must be something in here.
Rue looked down at the pile of rumpled linens as bright sunlight beamed down upon them. Rue leaned over to inspect them closely. He was looking for something most particular. There. He tugged a long, single strand of chestnut-colored hair. Holding it high before his face, he inspected both ends in the sunlight and found the small root still attached to the end.
DNA evidence. Interesting. Very interesting.
Anya and Asher had left their cars outside Notre Dame and decided the best course would be to walk up to the Louvre and then try to figure from there if the map matched any landmarks. Not that landmarks would help if the entire map were of the underground tunnels. It was nearing 6 o'clock p.m., and the streets were clear before the dinner rush that would see the Rue de Rivoli tight with traffic and the riverside packed with the workforce eager to get home. They had passed three main intersections where the bridges connected to the island. The Louvre in sight, their pace had decidedly picked up.
Anya.
What?
Without waiting for Asher's answer, Anya checked behind her. Three young men followed them, apparent because they were the only ones beating a determined trail in their wake. Not dressed in thug suits, but instead running shoes and camouflage trousers and loose sweatshirts.
They look like street punks. The kind you see skateboarding in herds before the city hall.
Do you see skateboards? They've been following us since Notre Dame. Let's pick up our pace.
BHDC?
Who can know?
Well, if you're not sure, that means you've got more enemies than you're letting on to, Frenchman.
No time to argue. Run!
Anya looked over her shoulder again. The punks had begun to run as well. She noted that Asher wasn't in mind to run around the iron fence before him. Climbing the iron hand over hand, his sneaker toes gouging into the iron poles, he levered himself over the top.
Show off.
Anya landed on the other side with bent knees and arms out to balance. Instantly, she realized they'd entered the yard behind the Louvre. She risked another glance over her shoulder as she ran. Their pursuers charged to the fence and began the same climb. Anya and Asher sped across the grassy lawn outside the medieval museum building. Asher jumped to the top of a low brick barrier and then leaped, disappearing in a flying, arms-out, balletic move.
Right behind you!
The man was a traceur, a practitioner of parkour. Anya was now getting a hands-on session with a master. The courtyard of the Louvre appeared to her right. The glass pyramid where visitors entered the museum was lit, and the surrounding pond glimmered gold in the twilight. Asher avoided the line that queued from the pyramid and darted across the street to enter the Tuileries. Not at all winded, Anya came up beside Asher. He signaled they should run the tree-lined avenue down the center of the garden. In two great strides, he jumped to a concrete bench, sprang high, and cleared a low yew hedge.
Land on your toes!
Taking the jump, Anya did land on her toes, but briefly, as she tucked and rolled, then pushed upward into a run. Anya and Asher came to a stop beside a low stone wall, which dropped down a dozen feet to the cobblestone sidewalk that hugged the Seine. Houseboats were moored up to the edge, lined all the way to the next bridge.
Now that was awesome.
Hey!
No time to relax. Here they come. Let's get down to the riverside.
Asher, hide on that boat there. We'll split up. It's key that you get to safety.
I cannot leave you, Anya.
You're not leaving me. You're protecting the map. Now go!
All right. Call me when you are safe.
We've got you now!
Sure you do.
Still racing down the sidewalk, the wall to her left and the river to her right, Anya lured the punks after her and away from Asher's hiding spot. Now she just had to shake the tail. Or not. Anya stopped before a stairway that marched up to street level. Walking up the bottom steps, she then turned and faced her pursuers. The three men, to their credit, didn't so much as hesitate when Anya produced a sword out of thin air. The first, clad in baggy trousers and a zipped-up sweatshirt, leaped toward her. Anya sliced low, drawing her sword across his knees. He dropped to the ground below the bottom step. Blood seeped through the camouflage fabric. Right behind him, the two remaining men had clasped hands and barreled forward. No weapon in sight. Such dumb determination. Anya leaped, clearing their heads. She snapped into a roll in midair and landed on the cobbled sidewalk behind them. Landing solidly, she twisted her shoulder and bent backward to avoid the glimmer of steel that flashed in the air. The stiletto missed her head and bounced off the stone wall behind her. It was never wise to approach a man with a sword, or a woman for that matter, yet both thugs again charged her. Her sword sliced the air. Anya felt resistance, blade to bone. She'd cut through the bicep of one of them. Before she could return the stroke of the blade, the other plowed into her, putting her up against the limestone wall. Anya jammed up her knee, connecting with his side. It wasn't a groin shot, but she'd gotten close to his bladder. He released her. Both her ankles were grabbed. Anya landed on the cobblestones heavily, but couldn't roll. Pins and needles shot up her arm. Her attacker had a tight wrap about her ankles.
Where is the sword, woman?
Nowhere you can get at it.
The man's face was a mask of anger. Stepping closer to Anya, he raised his foot over her head. A weird sort of semi-consciousness toyed with Anya's brain. She sat upright, but her neck ached from the awkward tilt of her head. She didn't sense that she was bound in any way. Anya lifted her head groggily. It didn't feel as though she'd been drugged, just hit in the head, but the pull in her neck muscles forced her to move slowly. She opened her eyes. The entire room was walled in black marble and outfitted with a chrome and glass desk and chairs, and artwork that consisted of a few dashes of ink across white canvas. And then there were the swords, displayed under tiny halogen spotlights, half a dozen at least. It was difficult to determine their period or if they were merely historical reproductions. Probably the real thing. Three thugs stood about the room, ready to take her on should she make any move to escape. She recognized two of them from earlier that day, and the third from the day before in the forest. A man approached, tall, thin, and impeccably dressed in a gray suit. Diamond cufflinks caught a glint of light. Medium-length brown hair waved about his head. It was thick, and though it looked tousled, she wondered if that was a stylistic choice. His face was gaunt, not an ounce of fat. Clear blue eyes were the only spots of color in the entire room, save the flashes from the diamonds. His smile surprised her. It wasn't evil or plotting. He looked like any businessman. Anya realized she sat on a sort of love seat with black leather cushions and chrome arms. He put up a shoe on the seat to the left of her thigh and leaned forward over her knees. The spicy scent of his cologne was too appealing for this precarious situation. Crossing his arms, he looked her over. He smiled the richest smile Anya had ever seen, like whiskey and dark chocolate and cherry pie filling all rolled up together.
So, we have a celebrity in our midst. The famous Anya Creed of Chasing History's Monsters.
Right. And who the hell are you?
My name is Jacques Lambert.
Pleasure to meet you, Jacques.
Chasing History's Monsters, eh? I've never considered Charles de Castelmore a monster. Tell me why you're pursuing the sword for such a show.
Not every moment of my life is concerned with the show, Monsieur Lambert.
Ah, she speaks. It isn't every day I send my men on a quest for a rare sword, and instead am brought a rare beauty.
Are you still speaking of the sword?
Unfortunately not, though I wish I were. My men tell me there was a man with you who got away with the treasure.
Define treasure.
Well, it is long and pointy and hurts when pressed into a person's flesh.
Sorry, don't have one of those on hand.
I like you, Anya Creed, but not enough to suffer your ill humor. You don't have the sword?
Not on me, obviously.
But you have it somewhere safe.
Define safe.
Safe or not, you have the sword. You were at the dig site, and you accompanied Asher Valois home.
I'll need a location to ensure your safe passage out of here.
And where exactly is here? Is this BHDC?
You've done your research.
I'm an archaeologist by trade. Research is my thing.
Ah, so that explains your partnering with Valois. Though, how much of an archaeologist he is remains open for debate.
You know the man. That would lead me to guess that you were the one who decided he didn't need both kidneys. Am I right?
Oh, I really like you, Anya. Monsieur, you may leave. Manny, keep post outside the door.
You got it, boss.
Anya took a moment to study the swords on the wall to her right. Three of them, each displayed under a halogen light. One was a rapier, 16th century, if she was not mistaken. Two closest to her position were épées, single-edged, damascened blades, and boasting gorgeous hilts encrusted with jewels and gold. All appeared sharp and ready for use. Lambert walked to the wall and touched a blue, double-edged blade.
You appreciate a fine sword, Anya? This one is German-made. Not the usual S-shaped quillion indicative of the maker, but instead a straight bar for protecting the knuckles. The blade bears a memento mori.
A death promise.
Indeed.
I have trouble believing you took away a man's kidney merely because you wished to display yet another sword on your wall.
But you discount the intrigue and value of the find, Anya. Most people aren't aware that D'Artagnan was anything but a fictional character in an adventure novel. Find a person who even knows what a musketeer is, and I'd be surprised. History is growing weak from neglect.
No, it's not.
Really? Mention a musketeer nowadays, and people think of a candy bar.
History is changing with every dig and discovery. But I can agree that the depth of interest grows shallow.
Did I mention I like you?
Was that before or after you slapped me?
Can you imagine raising a child now, in these modern times, who resembles the greatest musketeer who ever lived?
A child?
Doesn't have to be D'Artagnan. Could be Louis XIV or someone more recognizable, like Einstein or George Washington. Those choices would fall to scholars and the educated, I'm sure. The more socially conscious of parents might choose a celebrity, such as Angelina Jolie or George Clooney. The possibilities are endless.
You were after the DNA evidence on the sword.
There was evidence? What did you do with it? Christ, I imagine the sample was contaminated beyond belief.
There was a hair wrapped around the hilt, but the root was not intact. And I'll thank you to have a little respect for my profession. I know how to handle an artifact without contaminating it.
It could still be there, more of it, something you overlooked. I must have that sword. Do you realize what a sample of DNA can become?
A new kidney?
A new life!
Anya stood carefully and quelled the impulse to reach for her sword.
Life? Are you talking about human cloning?
A wicked maniacal glee danced in Lambert's cold eyes. The man was psychotic or worse. Anya quickly switched tracks.
But why, presuming you had the ability to create a clone, a historical figure?
Ah, well, wouldn't you, if you could not have a child and had decided to go the cloning route, want to be able to choose a historical figure? A little Marie Antoinette, for example, or Thomas Jefferson, or even an Albert Einstein.
Have you DNA evidence for all those people?
Certainly. Along with treasure hunters, I staff genetic archaeologists and an assortment of skilled medical personnel. We're always on the lookout for viable samples.
That's sick.
Not at all. That is the future of biohistorical genetics.
But I obviously don't understand cloning. Can you use dead DNA?
Of course. I'll forego the lengthy scientific explanation, but suffice it to say, so long as the sample is viable, we can work with it. It's a process to extract the genetic material and synthesize a usable genetic code. But it is worth it.
Really? There are a lot of customers for babies who resemble historical figures?
You would be surprised.
What about the couple who desires a mini Hitler romping about their feet?
Oh, Anya. You must understand that the cloning process would merely produce an identical subject in physicality and appearance. The human brain cannot be cloned. The personality of the subject would not be passed along to the clone, and those couples believing they can clone a lost loved one killed in a car accident will be sorely let down.
We attempt to make that very clear in our literature.
Anya had heard quite enough. The fact Lambert had been so free with his facts led her to believe she wasn't going to be able to just walk out the door, and she could see no other means of escape except straight through the plate glass window. How many stories high were they?
So you'll let me leave?
Of course.
Yeah, right.
If you take us to Asher Valois, while the sword is key, the treasure map must not be overlooked.
So he knew about the map. Asher was probably following it right now. How to read the map? If it was of the underground tunnels, could she find a similar map online to compare it to? Had Asher thought of that yet?
I knew it couldn't be a mere sword that motivated you. You're a weekend treasure hunter as well?
It is hardly a hobby. The profit from our plunder finances BHDC.
Biohistorical Design Corporation. I get it now. You steal DNA evidence, process it, and sell it to the highest bidder. It's identity theft at its most invasive.
Oh, come, Anya. They don't mind. They're all dead. A stolen hair here, a pilfered molar, perhaps a femur, though it is rather difficult to get viable DNA from bones.
George Clooney isn't dead.
Yet, wherever he goes, he leaves DNA in his wake. A fingerprint, a fallen hair, saliva. Besides, you are arguing an impossibility. We're doing nothing wrong in the eyes of the law. Therapeutic cloning is completely above board.
In Britain? It's still illegal in France.
Yes, I did once have a lab in Britain, but they aren't keen on pirates. I can't return to that country.
Madmen always believe in their ideologies, Lambert.
I'm not mad. I am a modern-day pirate, Anya. How else to finance our studies?
Now the connection between the map and the cloning was coming together. The treasure was required to finance what must be a cash-sucking foray into the maniacal dreams of a strange future of cloned historical figures socializing with replicated modern-day celebrities.
Even if I did hand over the map to you, you'd never be able to navigate it. There's no means to determine direction or even a starting point. A navigational device is missing.
So, you are unaware of what you have?
I know what I'm missing.
I see.
Lambert turned and strode over to his desk. Anya was a little surprised that he simply left her standing, untied, able to dash away. Possibly he suspected little danger from a woman. Silly man. Hadn't his thugs related their struggles by the river? A struggle that found you captive, she chided herself.
I don't need the map, Anya. I have a copy.
A copy?
As Lambert hunched over his computer keyboard, Anya began moving toward him. Her eyes widened at the screen. An image of a map had appeared on the screen. She leaned closer in to study the image. It was as if Asher had scanned the map onto the screen. But he couldn't have had time to do so since acquiring it yesterday morning, could he? He'd had time to humidify, copy, and laminate it.
Where did you get this?
One of my researchers turned it up after an exhaustive search in the stacks of the Bibliothèque Nationale. I'm sure the source was Nicolas Fouquet's journals, though that's not relevant at the moment. You know the financier kept copies of all Queen Anne's correspondence, though I am still a bit baffled as to the creator of the map. There is no signature on it, as was the custom.
Not the Queen?
Do you think Anne of Austria took the time to scribble out something so elaborate as this? And, you see, missing the same corner, I presume, as the one you hold. I believe whoever drew it did so on purpose. It's not torn, but cut. You see, Mademoiselle Creed, we have both been walking the same path. I'm not sure how you got Valois to side with you without...
Stabbing him in the kidney?
Exactly. Though you are not hard on the eyes. Perhaps he's sleeping with you? I won't settle for catching the bouquet. I will have that treasure.
Who's to say it's still there? Wherever there is... It's been 3 centuries. We know the map has been copied once. How do we know there aren't a dozen more copies lying around? Someone could have claimed the treasure centuries ago.
This copy of the map was probably made by Nicolas Fouquet. He spent 3 years imprisoned with Charles Castelmore, the sword's owner. Do you think he managed to discover how to read the map during those years?
Anya crossed her arms. Interesting question. But Fouquet had eventually died imprisoned. Even if he had learned how to read the map, he was never free to follow it. Of course, that didn't rule out lackeys or perhaps even Fouquet's wife.
You know how to read the map. You know who created it?
90% sure. And I must say, I'm quite surprised you haven't stumbled upon it as well. But that's all I will say about that.
Because even though you know how to read it, you're unable to. You're missing the navigational key as we are. But you know what that key is.
Perhaps.
Now you decide to be coy? I don't understand you, Mr. Lambert.
That's Monsieur.
You're no more French than I am. What was wrong with the United States? Do they take particular offense to pirates, too?
Monsieur?
Anya looked to the door, where a blonde woman had appeared. Her head was poked through the door, and she held out a business card.
There is a man here to see you. Urgent.
I've not heard of this person.
He said he has an artifact you may be interested in viewing.
Did he show you?
No, but he's carrying a small wooden box. He is elderly and seems kind, not a threat.
Very well. Bring him to the adjoining meeting room. I'll be there momentarily.
Yes, monsieur.
Lambert crossed the room and pressed his forefinger to a small switch on the wall across from the desk, which Anya hadn't noticed before. It was a biometric reader. A small green light flashed as it read his fingerprint. Anya watched as a 6-foot-wide portion of marble wall slid upward. Now there was an escape route.
Sit tight, Anya. There's only one way out, and one of my pit bulls is guarding the exit. I'll return momentarily and we can resume our discussion, yes?
The door slid shut and the wall appeared to seamlessly rejoin. Anya turned around. The laptop, still powered up, displayed a view of what looked like a lobby, lined with white overstuffed chairs. The lobby of BHDC. She leaned in and touched the mouse. A secretary walked into camera range and sat down behind a desk, the same blonde who had just announced the visitor's arrival. Anya hit the back arrow, and up popped the image of the map on the monitor. Actual size. Her spread hand almost covered it completely. It was an exact copy. Even the fleur-de-lis showed at the end of the red line. But there, along the scanned margin, was a scribble. Not on the actual map, but outside the edge. A notation made by Lambert. He'd wondered about a missing signature from the map's designer, so this could not be it. Anya tilted her head to read the small, tight letters.
M-A.
Anya couldn't make out the last letters. Could it be Maquet? As in Auguste Maquet, who co-wrote with Alexandre Dumas? It made sense that Lambert had found a copy in Fouquet's journals. Auguste Maquet, Dumas' collaborator, had discovered that a map existed during his research, and the only way to know that would have been to see the actual map. Maquet very likely would have been researching Nicolas Fouquet for the Three Musketeers, as well as for the Man in the Iron Mask, which literary scholars conjectured was based on Fouquet's imprisonment. That still didn't answer the question of who had created the map. Someone Lambert obviously felt could provide the method to navigate the map. Moving the mouse, Anya clicked on the internet browser icon. Checking the history lab, the browser opened up to the Chasing History's Monsters website. Another click on the back browser brought her to Google, where her name had been entered in the search box. Lambert obviously hadn't known about her until now. That was a good thing. But not for Asher Valois. Quickly clicking the other desktop icons, Anya searched the applications for incriminating files. She bet Lambert wouldn't leave bait like that lying around. On the other hand, he had been very free with details of BHDC's activities. Cloning historical figures? Whether that was actually possible or not, Lambert's intent to do so meant that he was certifiably insane. And now Anya knew enough to put him away. He'd never let that happen. Her next decision was a no-brainer. Anya stalked over to the door. She reached her right hand into the otherwear and closed it over the sword's grip.
Hey!
The guard in the hall reached for a gun.
Oh!
Anya stepped over the guard's slack body. She stood in a long hallway of black marble. A few framed swords and various medieval weapons, lit by halogen lights, dotted the length of the wall both ways. It was impossible to determine which way was out. It didn't matter much. Anya was in no rush to leave. Jacques Lambert assessed the white-haired fellow who sat before him in the meeting room. The man was distinguished and calm. Rather than hunched and frail, as he appeared in the security video, he was muscular under his cream-colored suit and seemed to have grown at least a foot. Curious. He held a wooden box secured with two rubber bands.
My assistant informs me you give your name only as Rue?
It is my name.
No first name.
Not lately, no.
Why the theatrics? You're not the same man my receptionist decided was a frail, elderly gentleman.
A man should always put on a considerate face for a woman. They so rarely are given the respect deserved in this patriarchal society.
Hooking a leg up onto the stainless steel desk, Jacques crossed his arms over his chest. Normally, he would not put himself below eye level of an opponent, but he wanted to present a casual front, throw the man off from whatever he was sniffing for. Knowing the female archaeologist sat in the next room put him on guard. Two unknowns in the same day? That could hardly be coincidence.
What brings you to my office, Rue? We are a private company. All appointments are by invitation only.
I realize that.
As I've said, I cannot guess your reasons for visiting a fertility clinic, sir.
Fertility? Heavens, no. My gentlemen are still quite potent. You see, Monsieur Lambert, after recently learning about BHDC, I realized I am in possession of something you might find of particular interest.
And you gained your knowledge of BHDC how?
An anonymous source. Don't ask for names, Lambert. We both know the business you operate pushes the envelope of legality. I personally care little what you deem moral and just, but I believe I can help you, if you agree to help me.
Jacques was very careful about his alliances. Unfortunately, he hadn't been discerning enough with Asher Valois. One would think a knife through the kidney would elicit cooperation. The elderly gentleman held his head at a tilt, his soft blue eyes unthreatening. With a jolt, Jacques was reminded of his father's soft, accusing gaze.
You have to tell us where you got the money. Please, Jack, to keep your mother safe.
Monsieur Lambert?
Hmm? Go on.
I understand you may have an interest in historical artifacts.
Rue opened the cover of the wooden box that sat on the table before him. Jacques leaned forward. A musty odor combined with something astringent rose into the air.
It is the actual chainmail auberque from a prominent historical figure, 15th century.
Who told you that?
No names come to mind. Have you an interest?
Depends on which prominent figure we're talking about. Is that blood?
A brown, flaking stain coated three of the male links. Viable DNA could rarely be retrieved from ancient blood. Bone or teeth would prove a better source.
Yes, it is blood. But here...
Rue lifted the male. Jacques struggled inwardly not to grab the armor away and insist the man handle it with more care. Rue pointed to a section of the artifact. Embedded within the metal rings, almost as if woven in, were fine hairs.
This is what I thought would most interest you. I count four, possibly five hairs total. A few yet have the roots on them, I believe.
Curiosity piqued. Jacques held out his hand, and Rue draped the lightweight mail across his palm. The mesh of rings had apparently been well cared for. There was no rust, no grime embedded within the links, as was usual for chainmail. Indeed, there were hairs twisted about the links, and the hair was coiled tight about the rings, ruling out the possibility that Rue had simply woven his own hair into the mail.
Who did it belong to? Is there a certificate of provenance? Sir, I only deal with legitimate...
It was Jeanne d'Arc's coat of mail.
Jeanne d'Arc!
You don't believe me? Well... I'll be on my way in that case.
Wait! Have you any proof?
Only my word. I understand that you do not know me. But you'll have to trust me, Monsieur Lambert. No museum or archaeologist has ever seen this mail. So papers or whatever you require have never existed.
Then how can you know it is authentic?
It has been handed down through the generations. This would be quite an acquisition. The DNA of the Maid of Orléans.
A direct line of inheritance was about the only way around a written provenance. Yet even inherited treasures and artifacts were often validated with a letter or family diary, and even then there were always doubts. He realized Rue could have learned about BHDC's genetic research with an internet search, as had the Creed woman. Jacques glanced to the wall where the sliding marble door was cleverly concealed. It had been a good 15 minutes. With Manny guarding the door, she wouldn't get far.
What do you say, Monsieur Lambert? Are you interested?
If we can extract a viable sample.
The hairs?
Possible.
More than possible. I can see your breathing has increased and that your face sweats. You want this?
I do.
Excellent. I'll leave the chainmail with you. But I must have it back. Will a week prove long enough?
Yes, but you can't be doing this out of sheer altruism. What do you ask in exchange, Monsieur Rue?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Rue again set the box on the desk and opened it. Reaching inside his suit coat, he withdrew a plain white envelope.
I've also brought along a more recent sample. This is what I want, Lambert. You may borrow the contents of this box and use it as fits your needs. No small sacrifice on my part, I'll have you know. You will also check this modern sample and verify genetic relation.
You're saying you think the newer sample is also related to the saint?
I'm really not sure. But I trust that if anyone can tell me, it would be you.
Jacques crossed his arms over his chest. Surely this old man was deluded. But could it be possible? He liked having the high-profile figures on file. It was almost comical to witness parents when his administrative facilitator told them they could have a child who looked like a favored historical figure, who really knew what Joan of Arc looked like, yet the belief that her personality would manifest in a clone was a detail he never discounted. That misguided belief was the strongest selling point for BHDC.
Give me a few days, Rue. I'll call you.
No phone numbers, Monsieur Lambert. I'll return next Wednesday. Thank you for your time. Best of luck with the treasure hunt.
Jacques sat immobile, staring at the closed door. Rue knew about the sword and the map? Or did he simply know BHDC sought treasure worldwide? No, Jacques kept that information close to his vest, which could only mean that Rue was somehow associated with Asher Valois. Or the Creed woman. Flipping open his cell phone, Jacques connected to his secretary's console. He punched in the 3-digit alert code. Sabrina would know what to do. Rue would not notice his escort home. A mace, a halberd, a longbow. There were a few of the weapons hanging on the wall outside Lambert's office. All 13th to 15th century, Anya surmised, with but a cursory glance over them. Farther along were swords. A saber, a broadsword, a rapier with swept basket hilt that was most definitely 17th century. It was quite the collection, but she hadn't time for appreciation. At the end of the long hallway, Anya slipped through an unlocked door. She found herself in another nondescript hallway. If Lambert was going to leave her alone, then she would wander. She wanted information. Down the hall to her right, a glass door showed a view of a building across the street. An exit. To her left, stretched another hallway. Anya went right. 20 feet from what she guessed was the reception area, she slid up against an inset door. Anya's attention veered down the hallway in the direction she had come. A man in a white lab coat walked toward her, his head down and attention focused on a stack of manila files cradled in one arm. Pressing herself tighter against the door, set into the frame about 8 inches, Anya started summoning excuses for why she was standing there, obviously not looking very patient-like, when the doctor stopped. The door, on hydraulic hinges, hung open briefly to reveal a stairwell. Scanning down the hall in each direction, Anya scampered over to the door. It wasn't marked. A biometric scanner positioned on the wall near the handle blinked red, then suddenly it turned green. Anya, hidden by the steel door, dodged to look around it. The person in the white lab coat headed toward the reception area. She slipped around and sneaked inside the stairwell. Cinderblock walls enclosed the stairwell. A fire extinguisher hung behind the door. The stairs didn't go down. Anya began moving lightly up a short flight to the next floor. There was no window on the steel door. Biting the edge of her lip, she pressed the hydraulic bar and peered out. She saw low lighting on the plain white walls and a glossy linoleum floor. There was no one in sight. Slinking down the hallway, she noted biometric scanners outside every windowless door she passed. 10 feet ahead, the hallway turned both left and right. Pressing herself close to the wall, Anya peered around one corner. The coast was clear. And down the other direction, a door opened. Anya crossed the hall and pressed herself against the opposite wall. She dared a look around the corner. Another hydraulic door was halfway closed. The back of another person wearing a lab coat walked away from her. Dashing around the corner, Anya didn't think she'd manage to catch the door. She plunged the tip of Joan's sword into the crack of space between door and frame.
Got it.
The person who'd left the room had stopped, about 15 feet up the hall from Anya. Anya tilted the sword outward to open up the door so she could fit her fingers inside. She slipped inside as the person turned around. Had she been seen? Anya remained by the door, back to it. Anya turned her focus to the room she stood in. Scanning the four upper corners of the ceiling, she sighted two cameras. She hadn't assumed she was walking around unnoticed. Perhaps Lambert watched her on his laptop at this very moment. This would be a quick reconnaissance. The room was 20 feet wide and about twice as long. Three aisles of silver metal file cabinets stretched before her. To even begin to guess which would offer the most intriguing information would take too long. She needed visuals, hard evidence. She wasn't sure what she expected to find. Clones, bodies suspended by wires and fed through intravenous tubes, jars with fetuses preserved in alcohol.
You don't see that many movies, Anya.
Turning to inspect the wall behind her, Anya noted a particular case of steel file cabinets to her right. It was the only standing file with a lock. And yet the top drawer was open about half an inch.
Like candy from a baby.
Stepping lightly, she gave the nearest camera one last glance, and then tugged open the top drawer of the file cabinet. It was stuffed with manila folders and neatly filed documents. She scanned the file tabs. Each was marked with a 6-digit number. Two or three letters preceded some of the numbers. A holographic device the size of a dime ended each label. She guessed it must be a scannable recording device. She wasn't up on advanced technology, but nowadays anything was possible. A clear label, like cloned humans, would have been helpful. She tugged out one file and scanned the first page inside.
Genetic markers. Matches verified. Implantation date? Now this is getting interesting. Subject, Gravita 1, implanted on 08-14-07. In vitro successful. Embryonic and fetal development normal.
Anya scanned down the page, glossing over all the stuff she couldn't understand. There were comments about general health noted on 3 different dates, which Anya assumed coincided with doctor's visits at BHDC.
Gestation premature at 33 weeks. Cesarean delivery. 6 pounds, 3 ounces, female. A baby? Survived 68 minutes. Complications due to...
Anya shoved the file back into the drawer and thrust herself back against the wall.
I've been expecting company.
Anya reached out to her right, curling her grip around a reassuring solidness.
What took you so long?
When he had returned to find his office empty, Jacques rushed to the door, only to find it wouldn't open. Something large lay on the other side, blocking his exit. His downed man. Jacques had rushed to his desk to dispatch security immediately. He also had access to all of the building's cameras from his command station.
She knocked out my biggest guard, and now she's infiltrated the records room. Just who are you, Anya Creed?
Switching to full screen, he found the correct camera. Anya stood with her back to the wall beside the filing cabinet. The most important one. Jacques ran a hand over his hair. Fine perspiration formed at his temples. A lump rose in his throat.
How did she get into that? How did she even gain access to the third floor?
Jaw held tight, he resisted pounding the computer monitor. He'd been so eager to acquire the DNA evidence that Rue offered, he'd grown overconfident. The video showed Anya turning suddenly. The top of Theo's head showed at the bottom of the surveillance video. And then, the most remarkable thing occurred. Theo drew his pistol to aim, but the woman brought a sword down across his forearm, disarming him. A sword?
Where the hell did she get that? From my collection? But...
Anya swung again, bringing the sword tip to Theo's throat, and pressed him backward. They left camera range. Jacques switched to another view. He did not recognize the weapon she wielded as one from his collection. It was double-edged, utilitarian, and looked medieval. But that was about all he could determine from the grainy security feed. Would she slay Theo on camera? She must be aware she was being videotaped. Surveillance cameras were mounted in plain sight in the records room.
Who is this woman? I thought she was a television personality.
The blade slashed. Anya swung up her free left fist and clocked Theo under the jaw. As the security guard fell, Jacques saw the delicate line of blood across his throat. She had not cut to kill, but merely to threaten. He focused on the sword. No, definitely not from his collection. She swung it high, prepared to strike again, but when her victim hit the floor, she lowered her right arm, sword in hand.
Gone.
The weapon had literally vanished from her grasp. It had not fallen to the floor. She had not sheathed it behind her back or at her hip, nor had she set it aside. It was gone. And Anya Creed made her escape. Jacques was too stunned to react.
What a remarkable weapon. If it really does come from out of nowhere, I must have that sword!
What?
Hi.
Anya ran through the reception area, giving a frantic wave to the receptionist who rose, moving around the steel desk, but was yanked abruptly to a stop as her headset was still attached to the telephone. She noted one woman seated in the reception room on a couch, young, blonde, and very pregnant. Pushing through the front door, Anya scanned down the street to the left. No traffic, not a single car parked on the street. To the right, the back of a woman in a navy blue dress swayed in the midday sun. Veering to the right and slowing to a fast walk, Anya quickly paralleled the woman, turning to offer her a smile. She received a glowing smile in return. The woman rubbed a hand over her generous belly. Two pregnant women? Where the hell was she? Turning and searching the cityscape, she couldn't pick out any familiar landmarks, which was normally easy in Paris. Ahead of her, the angry rush of traffic revealed the Périphérique circled close by. It was the main freeway that enclosed the city. That meant she was somewhere near the outskirts of the city proper. Anya slid a look back toward BHDC. No thugs yet. She took a glance again at her immediate surroundings and spotted a magazine shop ahead. Once inside, she nodded to the man behind the counter, then picked up a glossy copy of Vogue and pretended to read it while she kept her focus outside. The pregnant woman strolled without a care, and she turned down the street, perhaps to go into one of the cafes. Now someone did emerge from the BHDC building. Not Jacques Lambert, but a tall man holding a pistol in plain sight. He looked both ways, then headed in the opposite direction.
Idiot.
The pregnant woman in the navy dress sat beside her girlfriend in a coffee shop that boasted decadent truffles behind a curved glass counter. She acknowledged Anya with a bright smile as she entered. Anya gave a little wave as if to say, "Ah, such a coincidence," and then moved towards the counter.
Bonjour. Café crème, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, mademoiselle.
While she waited for the sales clerk to retrieve a fresh carton of cream, Anya read the small placard on the front of the register. It featured a picture of a cathedral she recognized but couldn't quite name at the moment. "Tour Mansart's greatest works," it advertised.
Mansart. Why does that...
Votre café, mademoiselle.
Merci. Please, do you speak English?
Why, yes.
What cathedral is this in the advertisement?
Oh, this ended last week. It is a tour of François Mansart's work. This is Val de Grasse.
Is that the cathedral that Queen Anne had commissioned so she could baptize her son?
Exactement. I admire the architect, so I posted the tour. You have been to Val de Grasse?
No. So Mansart was 17th century?
Oui. He designed many famous sites and mansions until Mazarin accused him before all the world of extravagance and to be having an affair of the heart with the queen. None of it was correct, but he suffered for it and never worked again. Quel dommage. So many wonderful things he could have yet created.
Mansart and Queen Anne. Mansart instead of Maquet.
Could that have been the word Lambert had scrawled along his copy of the map? Historically, the architect fit into the picture. Too well.
Do you know anything about the tunnels that run under the city?
I know that Mansart had to build again many of the tunnels beneath Val de Grasse because they, tumbled, huh? Paris sits upon many tunnels. I am surprised the whole city does not tumble.
Well, don't tell that to those who ride the metro. Very interesting to consider. Merci.
Anya took a chair two tables away from the two women and placed her back to them to maintain a good view of the street before her. Lambert's thug could double back and check out this end of the street. At least, she hoped he did. What kind of thug was he if he didn't? So, Mansart. This could be a lead. But she couldn't do anything about it until she got back to her car and her laptop. The coffee was helping to sharpen her senses somewhat. After being knocked out and transported, and then what she'd seen in the BHDC building, Anya wasn't sure it hadn't all been a weird nightmare. She'd read horrible things in the files back at BHDC, and the woman sitting not 10 feet away from her had probably come from the building. Was she being seen by a BHDC doctor? Did they operate an actual fertility clinic? Anya found it hard to believe biopirates could be so generous. That's what they were. Evil men stealing genetic material from unsuspecting women. The fertility clinic was a front. Had to be. Were these smiling, chatting women nothing more than guinea pigs?
It's such a treasure. Michelle and I have been trying for years. Such marvels medicine can perform.
Yes, a baby would be a treasure to an infertile couple. But whose baby was she carrying? A clone? A mini Napoleon?
Have you picked out a name?
Oui, Pierre.
If BHDC experimented with cloning, they would need stem cells. Stem cells were not easy to come by, and illegal if gained through improper means and methods. Did BHDC harvest eggs from infertile mothers with the promise of fertility treatments? Perhaps a few eggs were set aside and used for cloning research. The mother would never miss them. That made Anya wonder if BHDC actually did perform fertility treatments. Why bother after they'd gotten the stem cells they sought? The files Anya had scanned had detailed failed births and infants dying only moments, 68 minutes, after birth. BHDC was a clone factory of sorts, and they hadn't yet mastered their trade. Stepping back outside, Anya had immediately moved to put distance between herself and BHDC. Scanning the neighborhood, she spotted a familiar sight to her right. The familiar four book-shaped buildings of the Bibliothèque Nationale appeared just over the building tops. Anya headed towards Rue Charcot and the library. She thought she probably had enough change in her pocket to gain access, and her reader card should be on file. She'd gone through the obligatory interview with a librarian a few years ago to get that. The library was very particular about whom they allowed to access their information. Keeping a keen eye to her periphery, Anya picked up her pace. Jacques Lambert would not allow her such an easy escape, she felt sure. The cameras had recorded her rifling through documents, not to mention the sword that she'd summoned out of thin air. If only she'd had time to nab some of the paperwork. It was up to her to get evidence into the hands of the proper authorities before the bad guys caught her. But where to go? Without evidence, would the French police jump on this and take immediate action? Who was she to decide what was the best option? Would Rue know what to do? She'd tried his cell phone, but Henshaw said he was out. Her next best choice, but probably useless considering she wasn't in the States, was Bart McGilly.
Hey, Anya, long time no hear. The connection isn't good. Where are you?
Paris.
City of love. I wish I was there.
I have a dilemma and was hoping you might have some words of wisdom.
Anya relayed the entire adventure to him and what she'd seen at the BHDC offices. To his credit, he didn't tell her she was in over her head. That was Bart. They were friends first, and always. Though she sometimes suspected he considered her more of a little sister, she could never quite place him as a brother. He was too attractive for that.
I don't know how the European laws operate on you. I'm sorry. I'd suggest you go to the police with your suspicions, but without hard evidence, it could be difficult. They're more likely to nod their heads politely and scoot you out the door.
That's what I thought. But if I can get evidence?
Then you go to the police, go directly to the police. Do not pass go, do not collect $200, because I suspect if you find evidence, you'll also find a hell of a lot of bad luck. You'll watch your back, Anya.
Always do.
Anya checked her caller ID. It wasn't an unidentified number, so it wouldn't be Lambert. Asher Valois? Last she'd seen, he'd been hightailing it away from her, map in hand.
Hello?
Anya, you and at Holmes.
As little as possible. And what about you, Asher? I won't even ask if the map is intact. Nothing short of a blowtorch could hurt that.
As I said, it is a copy. As you Americans say, get over it. Where are you?
Just outside the Bibliothèque Nationale.
So I have been jumping boats and playing bad guys while you've had your feet up reading books?
I haven't gone inside yet. Been a little too busy to get any reading done.
Where have you been?
Inside BHDC. We need to talk, Valois. And I need to take another look at that map.
I'm staying in the 5th arrondissement, in a cozy hotel close to Notre Dame.
Is my rental car still parked out there?
It is still there.
Good. I'll be there. Soon. I might stop and get something to eat on my way. I'm starving.
No, I will feed you, Anya. Please. It is the very least I can do.
I'll be there soon. Don't go anywhere.
Will you bring the rapier?
I don't have time to get to it right now. It's safe, Asher.
Lambert was still eager to get the sword, even knowing the DNA evidence was no longer usable. He collected swords, but that didn't make obtaining it worth critically wounding a man. So there must be something about the sword.
Anya!
I changed my mind. I'm going to get the rapier. I'll meet you at your hotel in about 4 hours.
Excellent. I will have food.
The reading room in the library was blessedly quiet and the perfect way to unwind after the day she had been through. Anya had chosen a table toward the corner of the room and near a window. The librarian only took 10 minutes to return with what Anya had requested, a cloth-covered box tied with thin canvas.
Oh, must be a group project.
Why do you ask?
Oh, this is the second time in less than a fortnight I've retrieved this information. François Mansart is a popular man this month.
Yes, a project. Do you recall the person who previously requested this material? Man or woman?
A woman. I did not get her name. She requested Nicolas Fouquet as well, if I recall correctly.
We're doing a study on 17th century scapegoats. Both were persecuted by Cardinal Mazarin.
Ah, let me know if you'd like me to bring out the information for Fouquet. We do close in a little over an hour. Good luck.
Luck? Anya would need an act of God to find something within an hour. Unless the work had already been done for her. If whoever had previously requested this information had been on the same quest Anya followed, the pertinent information could be on the top. Anya set the cover of the box aside and peered into the depths. She hadn't requested any of the larger architectural drawings that were available only on microfiche. The map, if it was in the library's possession, should be the same size as the one she and Asher had found in the sword.
And if someone was here recently, it was one of Lambert's hired treasure hunters.
Pulling on the soft white gloves the library had provided, Anya glanced toward the glass-enclosed office where three librarians worked. Two sets of eyes studied her. To be expected. Carefully, she began to sort through the contents, which included small sketches of buildings, a few garden designs, but nothing completed that would be an actual draft of building designs. She expected that the documents should be laid in the order they were last viewed, but it appeared as though they were not. In fact, they were ordered by sketches, then a few letters, which she did not take the time to read, and then...
This is it.
The document she touched was breathtaking. It was about half the size of normal notebook paper. She recognized the design drawn in detail with black ink.
The Butts Castlemore coat of arms.
The three-dimensional drawing displayed the coat of arms upon a round disc, which curved over to form thick edges. Immediately, she knew what she held. An exact reproduction of the pommel fit to the rapier Queen Anne had gifted to D'Artagnan. Or perhaps the original design for the pommel.
Monsard designed the rapier? Curious.
Though the man was never originally a trained architect, relatives taught him stonemasonry, she did not see any evidence that he designed weapons in this collection.
Anything is possible. The man designed a freaking cathedral. He can make a small decorative rapier.
To the left of the drawing, a simple jagged circle had been drawn, the same size as the pommel, perhaps a few millimeters smaller in circumference. Anya traced the jags, unsure what it signified, but sensing the answers lay in her hands. Bending over the table, she stared at the picture. If she looked long enough, would the truth reveal itself? Why had the whole process of navigating the map been made so difficult?
Difficult to one who doesn't know the secret. The queen probably handed D'Artagnan the sword and said, "By the way, this is how you use it." Or not.
Glancing inside the box, she sorted through a few more documents.
Here it is.
Anya held an exact version of the very map she and Asher had found, including the same missing corner. But was it an original or one of two originals? If Mansart had indeed drawn the map, he would perhaps make a copy for himself. And then there was the copy that Lambert had said he'd found in Fouquet's files. Of course, Fouquet would have made a copy of this bit of intriguing evidence to come into the Queen's hands. However, Anya recalled her conversation with Jacques Lambert. He hadn't been sure the map had been found in Fouquet's files. Perhaps his treasure hunter had found this map in Mansart's files and hadn't documented its origin. Or Lambert hadn't cared once he had the map in hand. The documents were definitely created by the same hand. The drawing style was crisp, clean, and the methods of shading utilized a small pinpoint stippling that was exact on both documents. And suddenly, Anya noticed the obvious. She placed the drawing of the pommel over the map. Moving the right side that contained the simple jagged line circle over the missing corner on the map proved it fit exactly. Flipping back and forth between the two, Anya determined the jags on the circle could be rotated to match perfectly the jagged edges of what she'd originally thought to be a torn edge. But it wasn't torn. It had been as carefully cut as a puzzle piece.
Incredible!
She had a match. But what had she matched? Sliding the pommel drawing so the actual design lay over the torn corner, Anya now looked at the coat of arms, upside down. And there, at the bottom of the curve, directly below the point of the herald, was the letter N.
North, west, and east, and south.
Anya had what she needed.